Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. From beautiful Hotel Candelaria in Antigua, Guatemala, my name is Sean Smith, and on behalf of myself and my beautiful wife, Damaris, hello. Welcome to Now is the Time. Tonight, I'm honored to be joined by the men of Path One. Path Crew One, numero uno, the A-team, as they put it to me. I'm going to have them introduce themselves, starting with their fearless crew leader, Mr. LaPierre.
Jesse LaPierre, Palm Beach Gardens, Florida.
Eric Reisdorf, Oregon, Wisconsin.
Scott Odden, Oregon, Wisconsin.
Matt Reisdorf, Oregon, Wisconsin.
Cadel Odden, Oregon, Wisconsin.
Gentlemen, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
I was just saying it's a bit of deja vu. This is the exact same crew about a year ago. We sat around this table. It was most of yours first time coming here. Now you're old school veterans. Everyone's looking to you guys like, how do we do this? And you're like, I've seen every one of you. Let me show you. Come on here. Let me show you how this works. Let me show you where this is. This is how it works. And of course, Jesse's got a year or two on you guys, even so. Tell me the difference of coming in here to this room a year ago. You'd only had a couple days under your belt, and sauntering in here today like you own the place. Just tell me the difference from your comfort level at the home, the kids, just the difference from last year to this year. I'm really curious to hear.
Well, one thing I have definitely noticed is that this year, now that we have a much better idea of kind of what to expect in general terms, then I notice a lot more smaller things, and there's a lot more details of our day that I am able to enjoy, instead of last year was more pretty much just trying to figure out what to do all the time. And this year I have a much better idea of that. So it's calmer, I would say. And I'd say I notice a lot more and I'm getting more out of it.
What are some of the things that you noticed?
Well, I think like I said, like a lot of smaller things, like the kids, like so much more with the kids, like even the kids helping out with us working at the job site, like laying the path, because I know kind of what's going on. And today was my second day working on the path, and I was able to stop and talk more with the kids that were helping us out. One that speaks English, that was a lot of fun talking to him in English, trying to talk to Danilo.
Yeah.
And I was impressed. He's really good in English. And then just talking to the other kids, and I don't know. I mean, things like that, I would say, because I'm not so panicky, I guess, about what to do.
Even though you're doing something you've never done before, I mean, these paths and the stones, but just a sense of, you know, kind of how this whole thing works. And anyone else share those sentiments?
Well, I guess I agree with Cadel that it is that you do feel like you know. Kind of the day-to-day routines, so that you're not worried about, oh, what am I supposed to do? I got to be at lunch at 11 o'clock. Well, if I'm there at 11:15, or we don't all eat lunch at the exact same time, it's not such a big deal. And I thought also working, with the Guatemalan help, the guys that are actually telling us how to do the things we're supposed to do, seemed to go a lot smoother this year to me. I feel like we've accomplished more because I feel like we're working better together. And I doubt it has anything to do with them. I think it has to do with us, having a better comfort level. And my Spanish is non-existent. However, I've at least learned to communicate a little bit more with just sign language and a few words here and there with them. And you know what? I feel like we're accomplishing more because we're working more as a team versus, the Americans over here and, the Guatemalans over there. Not like that was the case so much last year, but I just, just a lot more comfortable.
Well, we had a lot more going on last year too. We had three different Guatemalan crews of workers, and then us, and we had lots of different projects going on. So it was a lot more chaotic, and there was a lot less space too. Mm-hmm. We're a little more spread out, and so that I think that helps a little bit.
There were more people too last year too. I think we had about 50 people here that week last year.
Yeah, about 10 more people.
Yeah, yeah. So it was a little bit more. Yeah.
And
we were in a smaller space. Yeah, because we were all working inside the home as opposed to outside.
Yeah. Eric, how about your differences from...
Well, you know, I just felt a bit better comfort level with the understanding of, you know, the culture. I think anytime you go to someplace different, there's a different culture. And, you know, it takes a while before you can, you know, be comfortable in, you know, interacting with, you know, with the Guatemalans more on the work crews and things like that. Because you just don't really know who's in charge and what's, you know, if you're doing things right. But I felt like this year we had a much more better rapport with in that respect, so that just a better comfort level. I think both on both ways actually. So yeah, it was almost like coming. You know, you're very comfortable because you know where you're going and everything. So there's no big surprises or anything, other than the fact that the Princess Castle is just way better than I ever thought. Because when we left, it was, you know, it was just bricks and with a little bit of stucco on that we had done. And it was just a fantastic feeling to see. It was way better than I ever thought it was going to be. So it was just...
And it was done.
Yeah, it was done. It wasn't a bunch of rebar sticking out like it was last year. So
I mean, for 4 years, I've been thinking, this thing's just never going to end. It's just never going to be finished. Yeah. And it looks and feels finished. You walk in and there's a sense of completion.
Scott and I walked around last year and we were trying to guess which every room was going to be. So this year I kind of remember, oh yeah, that's what this room was. So because we didn't have an idea what any of the rooms were going to be. So.
Matt, you have the same sense of a little more comfort of how this whole thing works? So you can.
Yeah, I remember last year we, on the stove crew, we kind of forgot a couple things a few times.
That might have been my fault.
You remember how specifically?
And our guide got a little mad.
Yeah.
At some people.
Donya Flores.
You're looking at me. You're looking at me.
Well, you know, the other thing that's helped this year is that we did have an entire, you know, season a week last year to break Jesse in.
Yes.
Yeah.
So the comfort level of everybody, you know, coming back and knowing that we had, you know, spent that time with Jesse last year.
They trained me good.
We
hit the ground running on Tuesday morning.
Yeah, because it was his first week, his first crew he'd ever led in his life.
And he probably thought about leaving right after.
That was kind of a long summer last year, wasn't it?
Because that was the next plan.
How about you, Jesse? You have a completely different role this week. You're kind of the jefe here.
Well,
site coordinator. Jesse's organizing the construction project.
Yeah, there's a big difference between making sure things get done and making things get done. I definitely feel overall maybe a little less active in the physical creation and construction of these projects. Kind of bouncing back between groups, but the groups are managing themselves very well. And we've got another team leader down there, Andrew, who's been doing a phenomenal job with basically heading up the path, the cement path. And then, of course, Scott has been really, really going gung-ho on the painting the soccer fields.
I hear he's done that before. Like, he kind of knows how that goes.
Well, he sure acts like it.
Fake it till you make it, Jesse. Yeah.
I still have much to learn. No, really, I do. I just can't stop laughing right now. it's kind of neat being in sort of a position of having to bounce around and juggle and think, okay, well, do we need more of this supplies? Do we need more of that supplies? Fortunately, I don't have to do all those calculations myself. Because everybody who's working on their particular areas is so focused, they know right away what they need. And you know, in Scott's case, being an expert with paint, I didn't have to do any of the, I need how many liters out of this many gallons? I'm going to have to dissolve this much liquid or fluid into the top. That's not my field. I could do math, but I didn't have to. I didn't have to do any of that. I just got to pass a few words around to the real jefe so he can go buy me some more materials for my crew. Yeah, but it is kind of neat having a big team, feeling like it rather than just five people. Kind of feels like it's one giant team with Andrew's crew, with Stuart's crew, with this crew, and then with the Guatemalan workers as well. And
but it's a whole nother level of discomfort, though, isn't it? I mean, like you have this level of comfort from last year of, I'm looking at the entire group now, of you kind of know, you know, the lunch isn't really important, but that name tag's pretty important. Scott got that first day. I didn't say anything about the name tags. But you kind of know what's important and what's not, and there's a confidence and a comfort level at that. But then you get to Jesse's role, you know, on his first day, he's pretty wide-eyed, like, okay, how's all this gonna work? You know, this is on me, you know, and you've done a great job, but it is another level of discomfort because you've just never done it before.
Well, day one's always the hardest because exactly we've never done it before. But now day three, everybody's in their place, everybody's cruising, they know what to do. I can kind of pal around with Don Miguel and help him out with whatever he needs.
Yep, our master builder, master mason. Tell me about this path work. Describe it to someone who's never seen it. We've got some great pictures, but describe what it feels like, what's nerve-wracking about it, what's fun about it. How would you describe it to someone who's never done this? Y'all were trained up in about 2 hours or so. Here's how this works. Now go lay what, a football field's worth of tile, at least
it seems. It's very impressive.
They added to it again today, actually.
Hey, we got the materials.
Yeah,
I would say it's a big jigsaw puzzle. Just put a piece here and a piece there, piece doesn't fit, you chop it up till it fits.
Keep chopping until it
fits.
That's
my kind of jigsaw puzzle. Yeah. That doesn't fit, just take the scissors.
Yeah, try to make it fit. Yeah. What'd you say the stone's called, Scott?
It's a schist, a micaceous schist. So wow. It's a metamorphic aspect of shale, which is why it has a kind of wavy, because shale is a real flat sedimentary rock. Kind of slate, like slate blackboards and stuff. And this has been, you know, folded and under high pressure. It's a beautiful stone. I'd love to have some at home.
Yeah, very decorative.
It only comes from a specific part of Guatemala. Mm-hmm. There's some mine up there and it's not close by. We were really sweating it because the stone still wasn't here as of last Wednesday. And you can't buy it anywhere. I mean, it has to be shipped from that part of the country.
That's beautiful. It's going to be, I mean, it really looks nice, the areas that have been done and, you know, and cleaned off and everything. And the whole path is going to be great.
It definitely fits.
Is it the same stone that's up at the top?
I believe it is.
Yeah, it looks like it. Yeah, sure. It's great.
Yeah. How is it working? I don't know how you keep it from sliding down the mountain. So, you know, we're going down a hill. I mean, there's level areas, but then, you know, that first dip is a pretty good one. How do you keep everything from just sliding down?
Well, for the most part, you don't.
It does slide a little.
It slides a good amount, and a lot of it depends on how wet the cement is in that particular batch, because you know they're. Unscientific way of mixing the cement is just spray water in the pile until it looks right. So if one happens to be more wet, then it slides quite a bit more. So
you can always add a little bit of sand.
Right. It's not mostly, you just try and keep pushing the rocks back up to where you put them originally. And
how long does it take to set? I mean, before they're not sliding anymore.
I would say, like, not that long. I mean,
20 minutes?
Okay. I was going to say half an hour until they don't really move anymore.
Especially in the morning, because we're doing this path underneath the shade of some really big pine trees. So the sun doesn't have a chance to bake the cement right away. 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Mm. And you gonna get it finished?
Oh yes. In fact, I'm racking my brain right now to try and find other work that we're gonna do, because we're gonna finish the path tomorrow. We're gonna finish the soccer fields tomorrow, minus maybe some lines, some small line work. But the two big projects that we had lined up here are gonna be done for sure.
Yeah, part of that's we've just had awesome weather. This is some of the best weather we've had in years.
I commented that on today. It was like today was the first day where I think it was sunny all day, from sunrise to sunset. There wasn't any rain, any clouds really.
Yeah.
Which explains why my neck is so red. But.
Yeah, we're all a little bit red today.
Scott, this is kind of—I mean, I was kind of making light of it earlier, but this is your profession. This is what you do. You do painting, and you run crews. What are some of the differences here? Either tools, material, how they do things.
The material is very similar. I mean, the tools are.
You brought some of your own.
Yeah, which, only a few though. Which is great. If I would have been a little more clever, I think I would have brought more. But you know, I mean. One interesting thing I noticed today is I was trying to roll a nice straight line with the roller, with the bigger roller, so that I didn't have to brush it in. And the roller cover, which is the thing that goes on the end of the roller, was cut at an angle. And it was a little short. So, like, the frame is 9 inches, and this was 8 3/8 inches, and it was cut at an angle. So when you rolled it, because it's at an angle, it's making a nice wavy line like this all the way down the pavement. So,
That's funny.
And then the roller covers are manufactured on top of paper, so they don't last very long. You know what I mean? They're like inside a cardboard tube instead of a plastic tube that I'm used to.
Right.
And then it's like I hire college/high school kids in the summer, you know, for our summer painting crew. And it's like every day is like the first day of that because, you know, you have volunteers that haven't painted before.
Right.
But it's no problem. I mean, everybody's so willing to help and having fun. I mean, it's nice because you can very quickly see a large amount of progress with paint, which is one of the rewarding things about it. You know, we had a crew of 5 younger girls all painting up at the boys' orphanage today. You know, and it's like to see them afterwards, like, that looks good.
Yeah.
You know, and it's great. It's fun to see and it's simple. And you just keep them going, and I think we'll do some more tomorrow. And
yeah, maybe for sure.
Put a second coat on. Fence,
we put a second coat on.
No. I mean, I'm pretty sure it's almost like 90% sure that we'll have the paint that we need for tomorrow.
Yeah. We'll get the upper one done.
As he looks to me,
please go pick the paint up, Sean.
Desperation, like, don't leave me hanging, brother.
We got enough to do the upper, and
we
started the second coat on the lower, on the girls' one today with the paint we had left over.
Oh, did you? Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so that's great. Part of it's probably a sixth of it's done.
For those who don't know, so we're painting 2 sports courts. There's one at the boys' home, the one that these boys have been playing soccer on their whole life. It's probably 10 years old or so, that court. The other court, we built ourselves. Actually, I think it was 3 or 4 years ago when we laid that first slab down. And it was originally going to be the first part of the first floor, the first level. And then the plans change design, updates, and they turned it into sports court. So they added 2 more layers to it, so wide enough for sports court. So, so both of them, I think, are going to have soccer lines on them, or as they call it, football, and possibly basketball at some time in the future. We haven't talked about that recently, Jesse, but that might happen. That's kind of a dream of theirs, but pretty cool to see fresh paint going on raw concrete, and now it is something. Now it's wow. And I loved the girls. I don't know if you saw them. They kept running out the balcony to see the progress, you know, because the third, second, third floor balconies, overlook the sports court on the back of the hill, and they were just like, wow, look at that. And they could just envision, oh, now I get it. Yeah, this is going to be like, we're going to have some serious fun out here. Sometimes we, you know, we're so involved in the hands-on work. I'm curious what's going on inside with you guys. Where you've seen the face of God, connection with the kids. Tell me some of the differences from last year to this year in your internal relationships, either with God or with the people that you've interacted with this week.
What? For lack of anybody else speaking, I guess I can get rolling here. We actually talked about that this morning in our little devotional on the way to the orphanage. And what I had said, I kind of talked about the cooperation and that aspect of it, and just feeling, you know, the Holy Spirit is definitely moving all of us. I mean, not just our crew, but everybody else that's helping out. I mean, I know that they could be doing something else as well. You know, I mean, they don't have to be working at this orphanage. Luis comes with us every day. You know, I'm sure he could be gainfully employed elsewhere. And so I see the Holy Spirit moving everybody in that direction. It was overwhelming to see that, to see the orphanage when we first got there. And that is, to me, the hand of God coming down and using us.
Amen.
I was going to say, what I said this morning is kids playing soccer, they really make a lot of out of nothing. They don't really have proper, like, shoes. Some of them are wearing, like, flip-flops or Crocs.
Yeah. Yeah.
A lot of them have, and their balls are just not good. They're flat, and well, but yet they still have a better time playing soccer than people in America do. They enjoy every moment of it, and so that's pretty cool to see them.
They're passionate.
Yeah.
Somebody makes a goal. Goal! I mean, they just scream with every ounce of sweat they got on them. They just, they're passionate.
Yeah, a couple of them didn't want to go to VBS 2 days ago. They wanted to stay and play soccer.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think it was Karen or one of the workers there had to call them up a couple times for them to...
One of the male teachers got a little annoyed with them.
Yeah. Yeah, and one of the kids kept saying in Spanish, last goal.
Before right.
They were going to go up to the church, and then they finally did eventually.
Yeah. That's great.
Yeah, that's really cool to see just how it's like they just, you know, we don't speak Spanish very well. They don't speak English very well, and it's just like a universal thing. It's just like the kids just all go out and play. It doesn't matter what background they're from, what language they speak. They just, you know, it's that fun.
They all know what a key means. Pass me the ball.
Yeah.
a key. Like, yeah. Here, I'm open. Yeah. Well, we can hear worship starting. I don't want you guys to miss out on worship. So I could talk to you guys all night. But thanks for sharing your stories. Thanks for coming back to Guatemala. You have all checked this trip off of your bucket list. You've been there, done that. And a lot of people come once, and we're really grateful that they do. But to see a group come, actually two families, and Jesse and your family, to come back again is it's really humbling for us, for Don Maurice and I. It's such a relief because we don't have to work so hard, and it's so much more comfortable for us, especially with good workers like yourselves. It's like, oh yeah, we can do a lot more. There's more love we can do. There's more work we can do. There's more help. And And so we just really appreciate you making that extra step, that extra sacrifice to come back. And please come back again. Whether we're here or not, come back again. Wherever we're at, whatever we're doing, boy, I'd be an honor to share a mission experience with all of you again, every one of you. So on behalf of Don Reese and myself, thank you for your service to our Lord and to his children here in Guatemala, and thanks for sharing your stories on the podcast.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you. Thank you.
So that's all the time we have for now from Antigua, Guatemala. If you'd like more information about our mission, team photos, audio podcasts, or even YouTube videos, visit our mission website at nowisthetimeformissions.com. That's nowisthetimeformissions.com. And until next time, this is Sean Smith saying Dios te bendiga. May God bless you. Vaya con Dios. Go with God. Pero no en medio de mente.